Hello, hey, and welcome to Feminist Poltergeist, a queer podcast that's concerned about fandom, feminism, and community. I'm Ellen, but not DeGeneres, your friendly neighborhood feminist poltergeist. On today's episode of Feminist Poltergeist, Frankie and I are going to talk about what we watched in 2017. Say it together.
What have we been watching?
Woo! Okay, so the first thing I have on here is Get Out, which was written and directed by Jordan Peele.
Oh, that was good.
Yeah, did we see this together?
Maybe.
I don't remember if we were together or not, but I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I don't like horror movies at all, but that was fantastic.
Yeah, it was.
It was just, I really liked the part where, spoilers for all of the things we mentioned, the cop car pulls up and everyone in the theater immediately knew if it was really the police, he would be fucked.
Yeah, that was like the most terrifying moment, I thought.
And then it was his friend.
Yeah.
He saved him with friendship. I also spent a large portion of the movie complaining about how medically inaccurate the procedure was.
Did you do that out loud?
I mean, quietly to Kai. Like, I didn't yell, but I was like, hypnosis doesn't work that way. You can't remove the brain like that.
Yeah, I don't think you should tropes horror movies.
I know. Medical inaccuracies just bother me in film, though. They always will. It's because I'm a nurse. I'm sure there's library inaccuracies that bother you.
Not really. Dearest listeners, you can't hear, but through, like, the last 10 seconds, I was just kind of giving a blank look towards, like, the wall, and Frankie felt the need to keep going.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Whereas I was just trying to think about how to shoehorn this into the next object. Not the next object, the next thing.
Oh, okay.
Because I feel like we covered it. It's a good movie. I liked it.
The next one I've been watching is Steven Universe, which was created by Rebecca Sugar and others. And did we cover that enough?
I think we talked about this enough. We've both been watching it. I feel like if people have listened to that episode, they know we've watched it.
I like Steven Universe. It was good. It makes me happy. It's a good, I call them comfy pants shows, the shows that like don't require a lot of emotional energy to watch. It's my comfy pants show.
I don't know. I definitely cried because of it.
I know, but, like, it feels like I never have to worry about, like, being super sad watching it. Like, it's cozy and safe.
Fair. Yeah. It is cozy. So the next one is Star Trek Discovery, or, as it is in the chat, I'm on STD.
To work.
Sadly, it is only available through CBS streaming. Frowny face. Why would you do that, CBS?
I like that you wrote frowny face down.
Behind the scenes magic is being, like, destroyed.
Exposed.
But yeah, I got you to watch this recently, and I was super happy. Yes, I know.
I binged it in a day, and I love it.
It was a couple days.
I binged it in 2 days. I
just want honesty.
I binged it in 2 days, and I have rewatched it today because I like it so much.
I mean, part of the reason it took you 2 days is I wanted you to watch so we could watch the Time Loop episode together. Because, like, that's when I feel like the show really cemented itself. It's, like, not just, like, a new Star Trek, but good science fiction on its own.
Yeah. I was a fan. The whole part of it I like. I like the main character.
I love Burnham.
I like that the captain's not the main character.
That is a... Yeah, it's a lot of people, and by people, I mean
white men,
white male fans, white cishet men.
Can you put a vomit noise into that?
I can't.
Damn it.
Do it emotionally, but a lot of them were like, "Well, it's not about the captain. It's always been a captain, and it's a woman." And like in there, you heard them thinking, "It's a black woman." A black woman is the main character, and shockingly, they couldn't empathize. It's been a real good way to unfollow folks, like way the election. It's been a good way to know who to stop following on Twitter.
Weed it out.
Yep, weeding it out.
My favorite character, I just need to throw in here, is Cadet Tilly, because she is a good person.
She tries so hard.
I identify with her.
And I love her hair when you see it for the first time, not in a ponytail, how big it is.
It's very frizzy.
But, Giorgio, how did you feel about Giorgio? Were you crushed? I didn't get to watch that with you. Were you crushed? Imagine Michelle Yeoh. Like, they couldn't afford... I'm sure they couldn't afford Michelle Yeoh for the whole series. She's a big, big deal.
I'm not saying she isn't. I kind of saw it coming.
Like, I knew it was coming because the way they set it up, but, like...
But, yeah, she's good. I thought for her. She did good.
Burn 'em.
My next one, movie I'm talking about, is Kong Skull Island, which was directed by Jordan Vogt Roberts, did horribly in the box office, yeah. But I loved.
Did you watch this on the way to or the way back from...
Finland?
Finland.
I think it was the way back.
Okay, because I didn't watch it because I didn't have sound, but I would look over and watch you watching it sometimes because it was so entertaining.
It was just, I couldn't get over all the great actors that were in it, and I really liked the fact that they didn't have the gorilla sexualizing the tiny human woman. That was cool. I liked that part. Tom Hiddleston trying to be a badass was...
Yeah, Tom Hiddleston being the gruff, like, Harrison Ford role was real weird.
His cheekbones are too fragile for that.
Yeah, it was weird. He was, like, the drunk, and it seemed so weird. He just doesn't seem like the person who plays that character.
And John C. Reilly out of nowhere was freaking awesome.
That was hilarious.
That whole movie was just...
It was, like... It was a good action-y film. It was a good punching movie.
If you like action movies with a lot of explosions and a plot that you don't really need to think a lot about, I would watch it. That's my jam kind of movie. I like action movies with explosions that are silly. And that rocked it.
Yeah, it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
What I watched of it without sound. So the next one I have is Spider-Man Homecoming, directed by John Watts. I was really hesitant about this film because, of course... as has been said by many others, more succinctly and with more facts, I really wanted a Miles Morales film.
Yeah.
But that said, I thought they did a really good job on Peter Parker, not just because a lot of Spider-Man movies in the past would have like a good, quippy Spider-Man, and then Peter Parker would just be a sad sack.
Yeah.
And this, he was a kid, and he was still funny and quippy, and without being, you know, crying on rooftops all the time.
I'm glad that I didn't have to watch Uncle Ben get murdered again.
Yeah, you don't need it.
No,
you
I'm
don't.
Really good.
We all know. I was kind of uncomfortable with the way that Tony Stark talked about Aunt May.
Yeah.
That was like, it seemed unnecessary.
Yeah. I just liked, I liked MJ a lot.
Zendaya is so amazing, and that was great.
Yeah, it was good.
It was a good reveal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was good.
It was good. And it just...
It was something... Oh, and oh.
I liked it that a teenager played a teenager.
And oh, that was such a good villain.
Yeah.
Such a good level villain for, like, a street level villain and, like...
Oh, relatable?
Yes.
Yeah, they did a good job with it.
That was really good. That was a good reveal for him as the dad.
Agreed.
That was, like, oh, so good.
Yeah, I liked that a lot.
That gave me... Yeah, good job.
The next thing I've been watching has been Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Created by...
If you want to talk about it, I didn't do it for TV shows.
Dan Gore and Michael Schur. I was hesitant to watch this because of it features a police station, and that made me a little nervous. But I was wildly pleased with how it's office-like in the sense that, like, that's the characters, but it's also not awkward humor. It's just funny.
Plus making fun of people. There are still, like, some...
The first season had a couple rough points.
And they still make fun of fat people a lot. Like, fat phobia seems to be the one last thing that comedy continues to keep doing.
But I really love the show. I really love the characters. Captain Holt is amazing. They have queer characters that are actually, like... multi-dimensional and are not
defined. And, like, say the words.
By their
games. The word bisexual exists.
It does. My favorite person on there would probably be Terry Crews, though.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you liked Boyle.
I love Boyle. I do. But Terry is my favorite because Terry loves yogurt.
He does.
And Terry loves nerdy fantasy novels that he talks about. He sings a really good song about it.
Who recommended this show to you? Did someone recommend it to you for, like, months, and then you, like, just didn't watch it?
You weren't even going to let me talk about the show on the podcast.
I know, because I'm really hesitant, because, like, it does, it's the police, and even though occasionally they try to make things about how the criminal justice system has problems, like, it doesn't even scratch the surface, and I'm really uncomfortable with it, but I like some of the humor. I think I don't have the tools necessary to deconstruct it the way I would like to, so I'm not going to do, like, a full episode on it, but we can mention it here.
I do like just a little part of my heart that enjoyed it. There is, like, a part where a, like, mainstream television show mentioned that prison is horrible for trans people.
Yeah.
And that was very nice for me. Yes.
Okay.
But yeah, Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Next is One Day at a Time. This was a Netflix show, and I learned it was a remake of an older, like, show. Mm-hmm. But it's a Netflix show. It's about a Cuban family. I want to say they live in California. I watched this in February of last year. It's really beautiful. Like, the season begins, and, like, at the end, it, like, ends with the main character's quinceañera.
Mm-hmm.
And throughout it, like, she eventually, like, comes out to her family.
I thought the mom was the main character.
It's, like, a ensemble comedy. You haven't seen it.
I've seen a couple episodes.
Yeah, but it's an ensemble, and, like, it kind of follows the story of the daughter. Like, the mom's in there, but the daughter is kind of... And it's just nice, because it has, like... three generations of this family, and she comes out, and it's really beautiful, and not everyone in her family reacts well to it, but the others support her, and I don't know. It was a good coming-out story. It's very pure. One of the actress who is in Runaways as with the purple hair,
mm-hmm.
one of my favorite characters, Gert, I mean, she's in this show as, like, the friend
oh, cool.
of the main character, and she's really funny in it.
The couple episodes I've seen, there was a really... The mom is a nurse... And there's a part where, like, she's bringing up her ideas and they're being shot down, and then the male nurse is bringing up the ideas and they're being listened to. And that just really resonated with my lived experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I liked that show. I should watch the rest of it.
You should.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good.
Lego Batman is, if you like Legos and you like silly action movies, it's a good one. I mean, I loved the Lego movie probably a little too much. Lego Batman definitely has the, like, tortured Batman, but it's pretty silly, and it ends up with him, like, realizing he can't be alone and, like, self-sacrifice and friendship. And he admits that he cares about the Joker. The Joker was upset because Batman wouldn't agree that they were nemesis. Batman pretended that he didn't care.
Oh.
Batman pretended that he didn't think of anything about the Joker. They didn't even hate him. He just thought he was nothing. And that upset the Joker. It was real weird.
This is a real different Batman than I'm used to.
Yeah, no, it was Batman acknowledging feelings. It was the best Batman I've seen in quite a while.
That's weird.
Yeah.
So the next film is a film I really loved and was really looking forward to and was really happy with how it was pulled off. It was Logan, directed by James Mangold. And this used parts of the Old Man Logan story and parts of the X-23 comics. And I really liked the way it blended them, creating its own thing, but, like, doing a nice homage to the parts of those I really loved. Because,
mm-hmm.
like, Logan is dark, but the Old Man Logan comic is darker.
Mm-hmm.
And it also relies on a really fully fleshed out Marvel universe, which we have a bit of, but not to the extent that this does. So I really enjoyed it. I cried a lot. I know it was your realization that it's harder for you to cry now.
I couldn't cry. I don't know the comics as well. The part I really like, Bitter Professor X. That was really fun.
I hope he had a lot of fun making this, because I had a lot of fun watching it.
Professor X should always be allowed to say the word fuck.
There were some ratings issue.
Yeah, I know. The only thing that I didn't like about it, and then again, this is someone who didn't read the comics, is it was just a very sad story to me. Like, oh, a bad thing happened. Oh, look, another bad thing happened. Oh, wait, another sad thing. It was just real sad.
Well, I mean, they did say it would be the last film that Hugh Jackman was doing.
What? I mean, I expected that, but I wasn't expecting, like, a 1-2 sad punch. I was expecting sadness and then hope, and I just felt like I got knocked over with sadness.
There was hope.
I understand. I'm just telling you what I felt about it. Okay. It made me sad, but no tears, I couldn't cry.
Testosterone does things to your tears.
Ugh.
I feel good about that one.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you know, it renewed my love for Hugh Jackman, which is already there.
Oh, yeah.
See, the song and dance man, and he, you know, X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. Okay.
Oh, the next show that I watched was Stranger Things, because, like, everybody...
Season 2.
Created by the Duffer Brothers. I had a really interesting talk with a coworker, actually, who films, and he was talking about the nostalgia that was specifically built into the show, so I was very conscious of that. But to be completely honest, the reason I loved this show is Angsty 11, the Hobbit that was the guy who was in Lord of the Rings, who played Sam.
Sean Austin?
Yes.
I haven't even seen this, but I know he was in it.
He's in it, and he's very huggable, and his name is Bob, and he's just trying to be brave.
Aww.
And then he dies.
Thanks for the spoiler.
Dude, it's the most spoilerific episode. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I spoiled that for you.
I know
you.
Bob dies now. Well, I wasn't sure I was going to watch it anyway.
I mean, there were some parts of it. I feel like the second season of a show is never as exciting.
Especially when it's a really great first season.
Because you
I
know
mean, there
all
are flaws
the,
to the first season, but...
Because you know all the characters already. Like, part of the joy of a first season is trying to figure out who the people are. They're already there. There was a very funny pull-out joke that I enjoyed very much.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I was... I don't know.
Oh, is there something about a pull-out bed?
Yes.
Okay.
Pull-out couch.
I thought I saw that. Thank you for not stepping on the computer, Borby.
There's a cat on the table. I was told the table is just for decoration.
This is the cats. I can't control them. Borby, you can't see outside right now.
Yes, he can. He has cat vision. He
Borby,
can see.
He's disappearing behind the curtain. This curtain is here because of him, because he broke.
Yeah, he did.
He
breaks.
Don't
things.
Say that with pride.
But yeah, season 2, Stranger Things, I thought it was worth a watch.
Yeah.
I haven't rewatched any of the episodes, but I thought it was worth a gander.
I mean, because I'm a big scaredy cat, and it's not even really a scaredy show.
Did he fuck up anything? No, nothing
no,
stopped.
No, he knows that you didn't mess it up.
Yet.
Made a clicky noise, Borby.
God damn it, Borby.
You motherfucker.
But yeah, that's all I have to say about Stranger Things.
Okay. So the next one I have is The Good Place, which is available. It's an NBC show, so you can get some of the episodes on NBC, some on Hulu, but the whole first season is on Netflix in the US, and I think it's in Australia too. Mm. I don't know about other countries. I really love the show. Yeah, and they're like in a mid-season break anyway.
I loved that show.
I really love the show. I'm not going to do the big spoiler because I think it's...
You can too.
I don't want to.
Okay.
I love it so much. I love the characters. I don't know. I just really like that show. It's so good.
It is.
Cheaty.
Oh, Cheaty's perfect.
Cheaty.
I like that if somebody hasn't watched any of these, they're really getting no information from us on what these shows are
I mean,
about.
Okay, The Good Place, Eleanor Shellstrop.
Great name.
Yes, it's an excellent name. Dies, and you see, like, this is all the first episode things. You see her being introduced to The Good Place, which isn't heaven because it's not really religious. It's just a bunch of amalgamations of things. And she's being introduced to it. You have a soulmate. You have a neighborhood that you live in, and at, like, the end of the episode, she turns to Cheaty, her soulmate, the perfect character and human being, and tells him that she doesn't belong there. So that's the premise of the first season, really, and it kind of changes in the second season, but it's still, Borby, you cannot break that. So yeah, Good Place is lovely. Lies are like tigers. They're bad.
I like there's in the last season, there was like, what's your favorite color? Well, humans can't see it, but it's the same color of a soldier coming home from war and seeing his dog for the first time. And she goes, so blue or green? Just really like that line.
That is a good color, though.
Great colors.
It's a great color. Okay, so the next one we both watched, but I felt like, you know.
Oh. I loved the Power Rangers movie. It was beautiful garbage. It was not very well. I mean, the actors did fine.
I loved it.
The writing was fine.
The whole Rita Repulsa thing was,
I liked.
Not great.
I didn't like the fact that they, like, spoiler, like, initially, like, murder the black guy with autism.
That was a big problem. And then are inspired to go on because of his death. There's a big problem there.
They bring him back.
And
they did have a black character with autism in a major movie, which was super cool.
And they used the words.
And
he wasn't just there for comic relief.
The guy who plays the Red Ranger plays the creepy brother in Stranger Things.
I heard.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
No, I thought it was great. They say it's Morphin time.
I know.
They
have the sword.
They have a Zorg. They are buddies. I liked it. I thought it was good.
And they imply the Green Ranger's gonna come at some point.
Yeah.
I had fun. It was a fun, dumb movie.
Yeah.
Okay, so this was a movie that I think we both can safely say we hated.
Oh, garbage.
Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets, directed by Luc Besson, which I love the filth element. It's kind of garbage, beautiful trash, but that's why I was excited to go see this, because it was like his big second take movie, and it was flaming hot garbage.
I don't even want to rewatch it. I like garbage films. I like rewatching garbage films, and that was, it was awful.
The script was so bad and so clearly uncomfortable. The main actor was serving some great Leonardo in Romeo plus Juliet trash look. Like, he was really serving that.
He looks so bad.
He looks so bad, but he was really serving that, like, haircut and, like, really skinny Leo look in that film. But it was garbage. It was visually pretty. Visually world-building. So if you want to put it on the background, no subtitles, no sound?
Rihanna did well.
Possibly. Rihanna was great.
Rihanna was great.
She died uselessly.
And over-sexualized, yeah.
Yeah, it would have been great if he died instead and then been her. And yeah, that would have been a great version.
Yeah, I'm on that.
But yeah, it was hot garbage.
Yeah, it was really, really awful. Don't see that movie.
Don't see it. Don't waste your time.
No.
The next show I am not caught up on. I've seen the first season and I'm on my way through the second. It is Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. It is available both on Netflix, and I think the current season is on Hulu.
Mm.
I'm not there. It's in the third season. It's a musical, which, you know, I like. It is kind of hard to watch sometimes because the character makes really awful choices at times, but I'm continuing it because I'm really excited to see someone actually get diagnosed with borderline personality disorder.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Yeah.
I'll have to start watching that. Yeah, I haven't seen it at all.
Yeah, I have to take breaks because it's kind of rough.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
It's just mentally kind of, and there's a lot of embarrassment stuff, so I watch a lot of it muted, except for the songs. So next is another one by me. It's Oaksha. It was a Netflix film. It is real sad, but it ends okay, but it also will make you not want to eat pork ever again.
I was going to say, isn't that the movie that made you stop eating pork finally?
It's one of the reasons, yeah.
That was like the final straw
situation. It was the final straw situation where I was like, oh, you know, I'm good. Pigs are too smart.
Yeah. Okay. I haven't watched it because I still want to eat bacon.
Yeah. But it's an interesting film. It's really pretty at times. Like, if you watch just, like, the first 20 minutes, it's just, like, or maybe, like, the first 10 minutes, it's just a girl and her super pig living in the forest having a wonderful life.
So I should watch 10 minutes and then you
can,
of this film.
And then you can fast forward to, like, the last two. and that's all you need.
That sounds great.
Okay, so the next one. Oh.
It's The Hitman's Bodyguard, which was directed by Patrick Hughes, starring Ryan Reynolds and Samuel L. Jackson.
What a combo that I wouldn't have expected.
No, Ryan Reynolds was a delightfully tense human.
I love how uptight he was. The last film I can really think of him doing it was The Proposal.
Oh, yeah,
I don't know if you saw that.
I did.
But, like, he does uptight really well. He just doesn't do it very often these days.
I really like Samuel Jackson's relationship to his wife, who I believe is played by Selma Hayek.
Yes, you got that right.
I know. I'm really bad with names. But that is, that's a great film. Their relationship kind of melts my heart.
Yeah.
I mean, it is based on violence towards other people.
It's a very violent kind of, at moments, like, just kind of a fun explosion-y movie. But it's fun.
I want to watch that again.
I know.
We bought it. That's how much I liked it. I paid money for it.
We can watch it after this.
Sure.
It's late, but tomorrow's New Year's, so I was going to sleep in anyway.
Uh-huh.
New Year's Eve.
That's true.
This isn't what we're doing for New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve is going to be crazy.
Toit.
Super toit.
Toit, nope.
Nobody's getting married.
I just really love that phrase.
Please don't pretend someone's getting married. A surprise wedding is not something I'm emotionally prepared for.
Toit. Okay, so what's next?
Then I put, I know you don't like stand-up comedy, so I watched a lot of stand-up comedy.
I don't mind Patton Oswalt.
But I really like Patton Oswalt's Annihilation. It was directed by, I just can't wait to say this name, Bobcat Goldthwaite.
It's a great
name. His name is Bobcat.
I hope that's not a nickname. I hope he legally changed it.
But Patton Oswalt's a comedian that I've loved for many years. His wife passed away between his last stand-up special and this one. And in this one, he includes a lot of his, like, grief and processing mm-hmm. of his wife's death. And I'm not a person who's super comfortable with death. Like, most people aren't. But, like, I was exposed to it at a real young age, and it kind of fucked me up. And so it's really cathartic for me to watch, like, somebody process it on stage mm-hmm. in a way that is very humorous and raw and real.
Yeah.
He also talks about, like, being a single parent and a widower at the same time. It's so good.
He is such a big fan of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend that he got a little cameo part. And it's super funny. It's in the second season. I loved it so much.
He is also on the new MST TK 3000.
I know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you like Patton Oswalt, I would definitely watch it. Don't watch it if you're already sad. Because the second half is a real downer.
It's real sad.
But it's really good. Yeah. I'd recommend it.
The next one.
Yeah.
is Professor Marsden and the Wonder Woman, directed by Angela Robinson. Now, disclaimer, there's a lot of liberal fictionalizing in this, because the actual life situation was a little less comfortable.
Yeah.
Because the age difference was way less comfortable. But this is a film, so it's fictionalized, so I don't have to think about that. I just have to think about the beautiful polyamory.
As somebody who is a professor, it took me a while to get past the fact that it is a professor sleeping with a student, because that makes me super fucking uncomfortable. It makes me
super fucking uncomfortable.
Yeah, like using that power. But the
I separated as much as possible from the actual thing.
I really like that the sex scenes aren't just focused on the guy's dick. It's almost like a woman directed it.
It is. It is. Support black women artists.
Yes. I loved that movie. I loved that it...
It was really great.
It put polyamory in a way, like... You can have children and be polyamorous. You can have, you know, conflicts and relationships and still be polyamorous. You can do all these things and be poly in a healthy way. Also, they got kinky, and that made me feel very happy. And I don't know, like, sometimes I feel like when people think about kink, they think of, like, you know, like, very, what we would, like, intense things. But there's, like, a really intimate and intense scene that just involves somebody wrapping a rope around another person.
And I really like the period costumes. I really like what pants then yes. did for a man's butt.
High-waisted pants. Mmm, that booty.
Kylo Ren did it wrong. we'll get to that soon.
Yeah, we will.
So, what's your next one?
I put Planet Earth 2, which is narrated by Sir David Attenborough.
Frankie, have you watched Planet Earth 1 a few times?
So, Planet Earth 1 is one of my favorite go-to put-on-in-the-background-for-anything documentaries.
Did you start watching it in college or nursing school?
Undergrad.
Undergrad, okay.
In undergrad, I had...
Oh, duh. I was thinking grad school.
Yeah. In undergrad, I had a Planet Earth, and that's what I would watch in the background. But I just love it because...
It's so relaxed.
As a nerd, like, I'm like, I know lots of stuff about the world, and I'm good. And then, like, I watch this show, and I'm like, what are all the things I didn't know? The only sad part about Planet Earth 2 is because the planet's dying.
Global warming,
the
yeah.
second, like, the last, like, 10 minutes of each episode are like, let's be sad.
I actually really like that.
I know you do.
But that's because I like to be reminded that humans are awful.
Yeah. No, the episode that's really interesting is they actually, I bought this on Amazon. They actually,
it's amazing.
They have cities as an environment that animals have to adjust to.
I love those birds, and they make the nest, and they do a little dance.
I don't know. I like the jaguars that, like, live in cities now. I also really love...
The sloth! The swimming sloth that swims to his true mate. I love that so much. And right now I'm doing the actions, dearest listeners. Dearest listeners, I'm currently swimming like a lovesick sloth. Going out to get that sloth sex.
I was just going to say, he was not lovesick.
let me fictionalize it as I wish.
Cool. I also really love, so when I went to Australia a couple years ago, I actually got to go to, I stayed in Brisbane mostly, but we went to Lady Musgrove Island, which is on the southern portion of the Great Barrier Reef.
The evil snails.
They had murder snails, but there are trees that murder birds, and they were in the episode, and I was like, wait, these are the murder trees. These are the murder trees. And then everybody, because I tell people about the murder trees, nature and they look so at dark. Me like I'm making things up. And no, there are trees that murder birds for food.
Nature's so wild.
I know, right? But yeah, no. Watch Planet Earth 2 and learn about murder trees.
It's fun time. Yeah. Also, the swimming sloth. Like, I could just watch that. I have that gif. I just watch it.
10 minutes in. Within the first 10 minutes, you see a swimming sloth.
That's all you need.
That's all you need.
I just want to talk about a couple of shows that I started and didn't finish.
Yeah, yeah.
But enjoyed. One, Star Trek Voyager. You watched a little bit with me, too. This is the Janeway era.
It's great.
The first season is real inconsistent, but
I like it.
I like Voyager. It's fun. That was all I needed to say. I started The Worst Switch. Did I tell you about this? Mm-mm. It's a Netflix program. It's based on... a book series. It's really cute. I like the changes they made to the story. It was recommended to me by some... Oh, I think I heard about it either in Galactic Suburbia's chat or the podcast, but I'm really enjoying it, but I'm super behind. I've only watched, like, 2 episodes. I'll start The Librarians because Leverage went off of streaming.
Rude.
So rude. And Christian Kane is in The Librarians, so it gave me, like, the teeny tiny Leverage fix.
Yeah.
So, yeah, what's the next film that you wanted to talk about?
I watched Thor Ragnarok, which is directed by Taika Waititi. And he also directed and was in What We Do in the Shadows, which is...
And he directed and wrote.
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah. And he was in it, too. Which is one of my favorite movies of all time. Thor Ragnarok is really good because of the anti-colonialist messages on top of the sibling bickering, which I know you'll all be shocked to hear that I enjoyed immensely.
The side-eye that they just got in response.
I was going to roll out of your head with all that side eye. It was great. I really liked it. I mean, I'm sure there's been a ton of reviews of it. And I think it was a pretty well-liked film.
I have a shameful confession.
Mm-hmm.
I still haven't seen it, even though I really want to.
That's unfortunate for you, because it was great.
So we have one last big, exciting one. The Last Jedi!
I love The Last Jedi so much.
It's such a fun movie. Like, there are definitely things about it that aren't perfect, but it was so fun.
So I have multiple Star Wars tattoos, listeners. Like, I like Star Wars. I love Finn. He is a perfect flower who should always be protected.
And given better plot lines.
Yeah, he should. I really liked Admiral Holdo. Holdo?
Holdo.
Holdo. With her purple hair and halo, which was perfect.
I kept forgetting about the halo.
No,
and then I saw it the second time, because I kept seeing it in, like, fan art, and then I saw this when we went the second time, I was like, there is a halo there.
I liked the porgs. If you don't like porgs, you can't
be my friend. I love the porgs. Do you know what I found? What? Well, I found, thanks to Tansy on Galactic Suburbia, thank you for posting it.
Thank you.
A porg crocheting pattern?
What?
I don't know how to crochet, but I'm going to learn so that I can have a tiny army of porgs.
That sounds like a great life. Fiona will eat them.
Not if I put them on a very high shelf.
I know, but eventually if you have an army, they're going to have to descend the shelf.
They're all going to be stuffed into one shelf. It's going to be beautiful.
It's in a very tightly packed pork shelf.
I also have been looking, like, there are no crystal critter stuffed animals, which makes sense since they're made of crystal. But just give me a stuffed animal. I'll buy it. Disney.
Can I tell you something that's going to make you really happy?
What?
So, my partner, who's been on this podcast, Kai and I were talking about how much I love the crystal critters and how I imagine Finn trying to knit a sweater for one and all of its little pokey parts poking out. And Kai is drawing me that comic.
That's the sweetest damn thing ever. Also, I want to say out there, because I've heard some negative talk about Rose. We love Rose.
Yeah, Rose is perfect.
Rose is perfect. She should have been given a better plot line. But Kelly Marie Tran could make anything work, because damn, she's a beautiful, amazing creature.
Yeah, no. I was very much
delightful
a
ray of hope.
Yeah, no. I was not upset with the addition of Rose as a character.
No, I love Rose as a character. I feel like some of the problems in structure and, like, the length, because it was a long film.
Yeah, it was.
I think were because they had so many characters and they didn't find a way to balance it.
I read a delightful Tumblr post about, like, people complaining about The Force Awakens and, like, do you know what I had to suffer through for the first three prequels? I had to listen to a weird alien try to sell Obi-Wan Coke.
Midichlorians!
And you get to watch amazing space battles.
It's so true.
So I'm trying to be appreciative.
Yeah, I had a really fun time. I think there's some valid criticisms out there.
You mean the high-waisted pants issue?
Oh, God.
They just needed to look, like...
No, honestly, I think I felt like it was just unnecessary.
The unnecessariness of it didn't bother me. The part that bothered me is that if the pants were lower waisted, it would have looked fine.
No, see, I like the higher waisted pants because he's a true brooding Victorian garbage hero. And that's why... And those Bronte things, except for Anne Bronte, who wrote delightful stories, very underrated... They all end in tragedy.
I just want his pants to be lower. That's all I wanted. He's an attractive fella.
There's been some great fan art because of it.
I know. I like the one where I don't want to not credit someone, but they, like, can you do something? And he, like, pulls his pants up over his nipples.
That's Kate Lith, I think.
Thank you. Yeah, I loved that. I don't know. I just, ugh.
She's done a lot of great ones.
So is that what your main complaint was, the high-waisted pants? Are you looking
at
something deeper?
No, there were other things. I was thinking, like, I've seen some critiques about how Finn and Poe are used for a lot of slapstick humor, and they're, like, by women, particularly, like, with white women, and how that kind of, the issue's there. But I don't feel like I'm qualified because of my positionality to speak of it.
Yeah.
But I think that those are some valid criticisms. And I don't see those put out. I see more, like, stop making Star Wars not about men.
Meh. I, really...
Poe should be the only hero. But I like Poe. I like Poe.
They were going to kill Poe off.
I know. Every little bit of Poe we get is amazing.
Yeah.
Because Oscar Isaac is so damn charismatic. You can ship him with anything.
Yeah.
You can ship him with a TIE fighter. You could ship him with a damn wall. He just looks at it and suddenly you have a new ship.
Hey, Ellie, did we have an interesting interaction when discussing toxic masculinity in Star Wars?
We did. I don't feel like we can really talk about it on the podcast because I don't want it. I don't want to give greater credence to this person because he called me toxic.
That's true. Apparently, if you make a comment saying that, like, a general in an army isn't required to tell a lower level person about what's going on, you're a monster.
I mean, the problem is, like, not excellent writing, because, like, it's the same problem you have in sometimes in romance novels where people just don't communicate, and that's not good conflict. You can write better conflict than that. So, yeah. There's a place to be tightened up, but it was a fun movie, and that's what I wanted.
Yeah.
I wanted to have fun, and I wanted to see people of the same gender or queer genders kiss, and I didn't get that. So I'm happy with the fun. I'm happy with that great use of silence.
Yeah, great use of silence.
When she goes into hyperspace, space. Who guess?
Light speed.
Fuck.
Give me your nerd card.
No. No.
I've done the work. Mark Hamill's joy at being in the film made everything worth it.
I don't usually watch a lot of, like, interviews with cast things, because I don't, the cult of celebrity makes me really uncomfortable, because, like, it just does.
Okay.
But I watch so many interviews and behind-the-scenes fun games with the press tour for this cast.
Yeah, they're great.
Particularly if Gwendolyn Christie John Boyega are together, it is glorious. The What's in the Box game they played.
That was good.
That was so good. I have watched that video so many times when I need a laugh. So I'm going to link to a lovely article by K.T. Burt about toxic masculinity as the true villain in Star Trek The Last Jedi, and then a couple different podcasts, most notably DC Geek Girls. They're what I listen to in the lead up to the film because they know so much about Star Wars, and they read a lot of the, like, extended universe stuff, so they gave a lot of good commentary.
Nice.
And they, like, watched all the films and prepped for it, and there's some really funny stuff. So I definitely would recommend that one. I also linked to Not Now I'm Reading podcast episode about it and Overinvested podcast episode about it. All of them are pretty good commentary, but I would definitely recommend listening to the first one. And now, because, well, this will probably be coming out after the new year because time. But I figured we could make some not super serious resolutions because I don't want to pledge to change my life.
Nope.
But just some now. Dearest listeners, we want to take a moment to make our 2018 media resolutions. These resolutions can extend beyond TV and movies into books, gaming, knitting, crafting in general. Just to shoehorn in a few things I need to hold myself accountable for. So, right. Frankie, do you have any media resolutions for 2018?
In terms of reading, I really want to read, like, one book every 2 weeks. My problem with reading is that I tend to, like, binge books, so I'll read, like, 5 books in a week and then not read anything for 2 months, and I don't really like that pattern, so I'd like to, like, consistently read a book before I go to bed at night.
Okay, so, like, change your habit.
Just change that habit.
I have found that reading for 30 minutes before bed helps me sleep, too.
Which is fair. My issue with that is, and it's been that way since I was younger.
It's hard for you to stop.
I can't stop. I just get too into it. What if I die in the night and never know what happens? I know you're blinking at me, but I legitimately used to worry about that as a child. Movie-wise, I've actually been watching a lot more movies this year than I normally do. I'm not really a movie person, so I'm enjoying that. So I just want to continue that. Want to continue my movie adventure. For TV, my resolution is to not ignore what Ellen But Not DeGeneres tells me to watch for a year, because that's usually what I do.
That's so sweet. Thank you.
Usually I ignore your, like, media suggestions, and then, like, a year later, I'm like, okay, you're really right.
So we're going to watch One Day at a Time after this?
I mean, I thought we were going to watch Hitman's Bodyguard.
Oh, yeah, we should watch that instead.
Yeah. At some point. But I'm trying to, I want to be better at listening
that's
really to.
That's a crying show, too. It has a lot of feelings.
I want to be better at listening to my sibling on aww recommendations.
Thank you. That's super sweet.
You're welcome.
I'm going to get emotional.
Good. I got a Nintendo Switch for Christmas, which I was very excited about, and I've enjoyed very much so far. I also tend to be the kind of person that impulse buys game systems. This one was a gift. And be like, I'm going to play all these games and then never touch it. So I'm going to be playing it. Is I believe what I wrote was I don't want it to collect dust on our entertainment center.
That's cute.
And then the thing I'm probably going to work on is pasty making. I like the pasty making because it's something that my friends can actually use. And
can
like,
you explain what pasties are for
pasties
the internet?
Pasties are these little, we use like rhinestones to make them, but they're these little things that go over your nip-nops to cover them for legal reasons in burlesque. The group I'm in makes a lot, and I'm slowly learning how to make them without making a mess, and it's been fun. I spent the afternoon making pasties, and my eyes are very tired. And then, what, anything else?
Yeah, you have some, like, serious. Yeah,
I lift heavy things for fun. I hate to, like, talk about lifting because I feel very stereotypically bro.
Do you pre?
No, I don't pre.
Do you post?
No, I just eat protein.
Do you mid?
I don't mid. I just...
Second breakfast?
I will fight you. I really have been enjoying it. I started doing it to help with my dysphoria, and it's really been enjoyable. And so, the other day, I did my heaviest deadlift, which was 200 pounds. And I started less than a year ago. So my hope is to add 100 pounds to my squat max and my deadlift max by the end of the year. And then the last one, which is actually serious, is I want to be more intentional with my life in the specifics of, like, sometimes for a long time I just was, like, clinging to life by some fingernails and hoping that this day wasn't the day that knocked me down. And so I like the idea of waking up with, like, intentions of things I want to do and not beating myself up if I don't get things done, but, like, trying to be more mindful of the fact instead of just, like, blindly getting through the day of, like, appreciating the day. I'm just trying to practice mindfulness more, really.
Okay, cool.
Which is very psych nursey of me to say. But yeah, those are my very tentative resolutions.
Thank you for sharing.
Oh, we should next year see how many we got through.
Oh, we're going to. We're totally going to. You asked me the question.
So, Ellen, do you have any media resolutions for 2018?
I do! First, in terms of reading, I have two goals. First is to read 25% of the books I currently own and have not read, which will do wonders in cutting down my TBR shelves and potentially getting rid of books once I decide I either want to keep them or not.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to tell you the actual number because I don't want you to do the math and calculate how many books I own I haven't read because of embarrassment, but I know the number. I have written it down in a very secret place. My second goal is I want to read 101 books. This year I read 100. I have met that goal. And so I think it'll be doable. And between finishing school and looming unemployment, I should have lots of time to read while waiting for those jobs to come in.
Woo!
Which is my other more serious resolution. I'd like to have a job and a place to live. And also, I'd like to find a way to be okay with not knowing those things for 3 to 5 months.
Yeah, it sucks.
So, movies. I missed some movies in 2017, so I want to make resolutions to see them. Those include Jumanji.
Oh, I want to go see that.
With you, probably. Shamefully, Thor Ragnarok, I mentioned earlier. The Shape of the Water, the fishman fucking movie.
I really like how many... I really want to see that, too. Just...
I love his Del Toro's work, and so I'm very excited to see it. And they spent years making that butt.
That butt.
Yeah, the butt, because the actual actor who plays it, Doug Jones in interviews talks about how he has a really flat butt and how he really appreciated the butt that the, like, artist made for him. Because he's like, it's much nicer than my real butt.
That's, I like that he's happy with his fish butt.
Yeah. The next film is The Florida Project. It's kind of, I heard about it on a podcast and then read some reviews, and it's kind of about a girl and her mother growing up in, like, a motel, and her childhood's kind of wild and free, and her mom's obviously loves her, but is not necessarily the best parent.
Yeah.
And then the that kind of plays between them and the guy who owns the motel, who kind of fills the role of a parent for the mom, and just kind of, it's supposed to be really beautiful and kind of sad and sounds really in my wheelhouse.
Yeah, that sounds like you.
Yeah, and then the other one I haven't seen is The Greatest Showman, which I know it's an original musical, and
I want to see it.
There are some issues with, like, the way it portrays P.T. Barnum as a good human and some race and ableism I heard, but
I've Hugh also, Jackman.
Yes, Hugh Jackman, Zac Efron, Zendaya, dancing, singing, I want to see it.
Yeah.
And then for the future in 2018, there's some things I'm looking forward to. And speaking of musical,
oh
Mamma Mia, here we go again.
I'm not looking forward
I've to already that. Gotten someone else to promise to go, so you don't have to worry about that.
Good.
I'm so excited. Because I loved that garbage.
Not a fan.
I loved that garbage film. It was hilarious. I love that musical. I love ABBA.
I mean, I don't mind ABBA's music, but I'm not going to that musical at all.
That's fine. You don't have to. Alan's going to go with me because she's a true friend.
Fuck you!
No, she's the friend I go to movies. You and Sam can go see an action film.
We will.
Instead.
We'll have a great time.
You will, and Alan and I will see Mamma Mia, here we go again, in the comfy seats at the theater.
That sounds great.
Okay, I have two other films I'm looking forward to. Black Panther.
Yes! Yes, yes, yes!
And yes, A Wrinkle... Yes, yes. And A Wrinkle in Time.
Yes!
And those are, the three films I'm looking forward to most. Okay, so resolutions in film. In TV, I'd like to finally start Supergirl, because female friendship, female superhero... And now that I have leverage, thanks to my wonderful family, I'm going to watch all of it. All of it. And I am planning on doing a Fringe rewatch. So be prepared, Frankie.
Oh, God.
No, I'm not going to wait. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do leverage first, I think, because Fringe is real sad at times. So I need to be emotionally strong. Which means I have to have more rum. And well, then I want to finish some other shows that I mentioned before, like Voyager and The Worst Witch.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm super excited because Star Trek Discovery comes back in January.
Yeah, we're going to watch that.
I'm so excited. Okay. And I added crafting to the knit list just so I could talk about I'm going to finish Your Afghan. I've been working on it for a solid year. It's going to get done. I'm going to work on it tonight while we watch the film. I also need to finish Kai's hat, but that's way easier. I have some dish rags I want to knit. And more importantly, I'm going to teach myself to crochet using YouTube videos and friendship. I'm going to make a tiny army of porgs in the next 10 years.
Do you think you'll have my blanket done by the time I move out?
Yeah, I think I will.
Oh, cool.
So, and also, for video games, I'd like to play a video game.
Just one video game?
Not like I played the Lego. Dream Daddy, the dating simulator this year.
Of course you did.
But I like to play and I finished it. I didn't finish all the versions. There's so many. But I'd like to finish, you have a new game console. I'd like to play it. I was thinking I could play Mario with you sometime.
Yeah.
And I want to play the Pokemon game because my childhood.
Yeah.
So yeah, those are my resolutions.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that brings us to an end of this episode of Feminist Poltergeist.
Woo! Thanks for having me.
You're so welcome. Thanks for being on with me. I loved this conversation. If you want to send us, that is the team of goblins, ghouls, ghosties, and resident poltergeists that keep this incorporeal ship afloat feedback, you can email feministpoltergeist@gmail.com or tweet us at @FEMEPoltergeist. Tell us what you thought of the episode, what you've been watching, what you've been wanting to watch, and what your goals are for the future, and of course, who you've been haunting lately. You can also follow us there on Twitter @FEMEPoltergeist for updates on the podcast and the occasional animal gif. If you'd like to contribute to the podcast, you can become a patron at patreon.com/feministpoltergeist or buy us a cup of tea at Ko-fi. The links for that are in the show notes. Our website is feministpoltergeist.com. The podcast and website artwork is by Ira. You can commission them at justira.tumblr.com. Our music is by Loyalty Freak Music. This is Ellen But Not DeGeneres, your friendly neighborhood poltergeist, signing off. Haunt your friends, support your communities, and contact your reps.
Who's
making those noise?
Borby's behind us.
He's Borby!
See, you kept looking at me because you thought I was touching stuff.
I thought you were accidentally shaking the table with your legs, but it's Borby. Oh, sweetie.
He's climbing. You know why?
Why?
Because he's an adventurer. Would you like to talk about some more TV shows?
Yeah, no, I want to talk about our cats just for hours. So...